All right, everyone. This is In the Word Podcast with Will and Marie. I'm Will.
I'm Marie.
And welcome to episode 265 in our little mini-series on the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to sort of pick up where we left off. Last time we were talking about in your name and how people use the word in your name very callously. You know, I mean, they'll just kind of throw it out. It's really in a, sometimes a cavalier mode. And what can we do when someone uses the expression in your name? Yeah. We have to kind of like,
well, that God
back.
Told them, yeah.
Or God told them,
yeah.
Or they did something in his name, under his, you know, jurisdiction. They did it with his approval, you know, allegedly. They did it with his authority. I think when those things, when people say that, you really kind of, you're frozen.
Yeah.
You can't challenge it. Even if it sounds wacky and off the wall, you know, we put ourselves in a position of going up against God, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I believe some of them, if not most of them, are, you know, sincere. You know, they have, you know, because some of the people, or at least one or two people that I know of, are people who pray a lot. You know, they are people that just pray, you know. And so it's when they're done praying, it's all, you know, that's when they're saying that God told them this and that and the other, you know, after they came out of their prayer. So I mean, you're a teacher, so it's up to you to really teach us and give us the right understanding. But us little peasants down here,
well, we're all peasants, we
just better leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, and we know from experience that sincerity alone, you know, in and of itself,
right,
isn't enough. You know, the Pharisees over in Luke 18, they were sincere. Yeah. You know, the one that prayed by himself and prayed the prayer, I thank God that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like the tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. You know, there are a lot of sincere people that are sincerely wrong, sincerely misled or even deceived. And that's sad for those that are truly trying to be believers, that are trying to be, you know, saved,
right,
and to be misled. I think that's why we have to be careful. That's why we have to believe in the Word of God. I think we should take the Word of God literally, except in the cases where it's designed to be taken symbolically or, you know, a figure of speech. But for the most part, I think we need to follow God's Word the way he's written it. You know, he mean what he says, and he says what he meant. And I think we should believe it, live it, follow it. But sometimes I think people, you know, go off the beaten path.
Yeah, read it and keep reading it, and you know, and you know, stop, you know, come in with your own, come up with your own understanding of it, rather than it being based on what you've read in the Word, what we've read in the Word, and that we've, you know, maybe even talk with other Christians and really get a good understanding of what it's saying before we start saying things like that. You know, God told me, God, you know, this and that, because, you know, yeah, that's where you can get into a dangerous, you know, situation when you make a living, even God told me, God told me to do, God said this, you know, God, and that's, you know, that could be a little, uncomfortable, so to speak.
Exactly. And it's true. It's proven here in Matthew 7:21-23, that especially in verse 22, where it incorporates in your name three times, there are many that will say in that day, that is the judgment day, the last day, that we prophesied in your name.
So wait a minute, let's back up a minute. What were they saying? I mean, what do you think it meant to them when they used that?
They were saying that they were doing this under his authorization, that they had his approval.
Could they possibly have been saying that they were saying the words in the name of Jesus?
I believe so.
Some
I
of
believe,
them did,
just
yeah.
Just like we do today. You know, we pray in Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus'
we,
name.
We lay hands on people in Jesus' name. Some people actually cast out spirits or demons in Jesus' name.
Right.
So the name of Jesus is invoked. And a lot of the things that we do in church, we baptize people in Jesus' name.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what did their in the name mean that it was wrong?
Well, one can only go by what it says. You know, I don't want to get too in the practice of like reading between the lines.
Right.
I think it means just what they said. They would say a prophecy or offer a prophecy.
And
they would say,
yeah,
in the name of the Lord, the Lord has told me that next week, you know, you will get a new job, you know, and they say that in his name, they'll cast out demons or do other mighty works. No telling what they were thinking, but we know what they were doing was not approved or authorized by the Lord.
Mm.
So whether they were sincere in their heart and sincerely misguided, or whether they were sincerely being hypocritical, knowing that they did not have approval from God, we don't know. But we can assume whatever their thoughts were, innocently or not, the Lord said, I never knew you. He said, depart from me. And he concluded by labeling them workers of iniquity, by the King James Version, or workers of lawlessness, which suggests to me, if you are a worker of lawlessness, I don't really think you are innocently being misled.
Yeah. When you go, you know, that deeply into it, I don't think that the people that, you know, that all the people that do that are wrong or bad or wrong or misled. I think as you were talking, I think that some people have taken that phrase or taken that situation and turned it, you know, into something else that's not, you know, lining up with the word. But to, you know, when you talk about it, all of those people, I would not believe, or I would believe that they were not wrong. What do you think?
Well, the ones here in Matthew 7, I think are clearly wrong. And here's where we can sort of remove the guesswork.
Okay.
When he says, you workers of lawlessness. So that means these people were not obeying the law of God. They were workers. The King James Version says, I believe, iniquity. These people were unequivocally in sin. There was no doubt about it. And I think if you're living in sin, you know you're living in sin.
Right.
We're not talking about somebody that were just maybe had a different interpretation of scripture than someone else. Okay. Someone that may, you know, have...
It's deeper than... You're saying it's deeper than someone that just comes and says, you know, the Lord told me to do it. The Lord told me to do this. It has to be deeper than that, right?
It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
It's not someone that's confused or someone that's overzealous about, you know, hearing from the Lord. These are not people that are confused on the facts or missing the boat of the scripture, or where they're misinterpreting the scripture.
Right.
These are people that have, as far as the scripture says here in Matthew 7:22 or 7:23 rather, they've never been converted.
Yeah.
He said, I never knew you. So to suggest that I never knew you, that reaches back to past tense.
Right.
I didn't know you when you claimed you were converted.
Right.
That means you were never converted. You were never saved. You were never justified.
Yeah.
And therefore, you have always been in your sins. You're in your sins now. You have always been in your sins.
Yes.
So these are people that are akin to, at least in my estimation, Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer, who attempted to buy the Holy Spirit with money. And he attempted to buy the Holy Spirit with money because he wanted to use the Holy Spirit for the purposes of profitability.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Filthy lucre, sordid gain.
Okay,
Yeah. And he was called out for that.
Yeah, that's clear. That makes it a lot more clear. Because I know I have people in my sister and her church and all that. I'm sure they, you know, when they pray and stuff, it's, you know, they say things like the Lord told me, or the Lord, you know, that's my understanding of it. But so it's like, I know she's saved and her, you know, I truly believe she's saved. So that kind of stuck with me a little bit. I'm like, ooh, you know. But yeah, that's really clear. You make it a lot clearer.
And I think, you know, I alluded to Simon the Sorcerer in Acts 8. I just quickly turned to it because I think Peter says some interesting things, just like Jesus says over in Matthew 7, that shed some light on Simon's framework or frame of mind. And also, this may also add light to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. So Peter addressed Simon's request. Simon said, give me this authority so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 19. Mm-hmm. But Peter said to him, now you may say ostensibly, that seems like an honorable thing. Right. People get receiving the Holy Spirit. That means they're being converted, they're being saved, they're being added to the kingdom. But Peter responded in verse 20 of Acts 8 by saying, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. But here's the really stinging rebuke in verse 21. This is where we really find out what's motivating Simon and what's really driving this ship. He said, you have no part or portion in this matter. Why? For your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent. So Peter just goes right and cuts right to the chase. He says, your heart is not right. This is not a matter of someone being confused. This is not a matter of someone having a different interpretation. This is not a matter of someone not understanding, you know, the language here and getting
full well knew what they were doing.
This guy's heart was right. He came into this with the wrong spirit, the wrong mind, the wrong heart. He wanted to exploit the Holy Spirit for monetary gain.
Good.
And Peter called them out on it. And I think these people in Matthew 7 were in the same boat, that they were workers of lawlessness, which means they were in sin. They were practicing sin. They knew they were in sin. They apparently had no intention to turn from their sins. And so the Lord said, hey, I have nothing to do with you. I don't know you. And that word know suggests that there is a relationship. There was never a relationship between the Lord and these workers of iniquity. And that just really calls them out on it.
Good stuff, though.
Yeah. So, Lord, we just ask you to help us to not be confused, to not be deceitful, to not even be deceived, Lord. For it says in your word that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. So we know when Satan is trying to confuse us or disrupt us or take us out of your will. Keep us steadfast, Lord, and unmovable. Make us committed to your word. Keep us committed to your way. Help us to be good students of God's word, and like the Bereans were, more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. We just ask you to bless us in that area, that we will be true to you, not deceived, not being misled, and certainly, Lord, that we're not practicing lawlessness. We thank you for your goodness, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.